Craig Pope, John Burton Show, presented by Omni Nashville Hotel. First Friday in June, first Friday of every month, the rest of the year, Bill King Show and our show will be at Kitchen Oats. We did that before the pandemic. It is the return.
We're
Five
back,
hours.
Baby.
Yep. First Friday of every month,
and
right
make sure
down there.
Make sure you come down and join us and say hello. Stop down, you know, have a cup. I don't really drink coffee, but
grab some grub.
Grab some food, hang out with us. It's always fun. Kitchen Notes is a great place, great food, and great atmosphere. There's usually a lot of cool things to see, if you know what I mean.
Yes.
On a Friday in the summer.
It always comes back to that for you, doesn't it? Ryan Callahan, GoVols 24/7. You can follow him on Twitter at Ryan Callahan 24/7. Hey, Ryan, good morning. How you doing, man?
What's up, Ryan?
Hey, guys, doing well. How are you?
Good.
Doing
what, do you good. Just need to sleep another hour this morning? What?
No, I had an appointment, actually.
Well,
cool. We appreciate you jumping on.
Yeah, was it just have breakfast with Julian Phillips? Is that it? he's 6'8", 200. I mean, he could have gone straight to the G League and no telling what the bidding war was for him. Wink, wink, nod, nod from these collectives. But, I mean, whatever you think about Rick Barnes in March, he can recruit. There's no doubt about it.
No question. And hey, you know, who knows how this played out but behind the scenes? Only the people involved really know. But I'll say this. Rick Barnes has not been big on he's not exactly jumping in with both feet here on the NIL stuff when it comes to recruiting, because he's a big believer in guys earning that stuff, just like he's a big believer in guys earning playing time. So he's taken some flack already from fans because they hadn't won a whole lot of battles this offseason. They've missed out on some other guys in the transfer portal, things like that. So this is a big, big win for Tennessee, and I think it shows that, you know, some of that hand-wringing was probably a bit unwarranted, but also that maybe Tennessee is still able to be competitive in that space. You know, only those people involved really know, but it is a huge, huge win for, you know, obviously anytime you get a guy that's viewed as a potential one-and-done, much like Kennedy Chandler a year ago, you take those guys all day, and this is a big-time talent that Tennessee, you're beating out Auburn for him. So, you know, those recruiting battles with Tennessee and Bruce Pearl staff down at Auburn have become more and more frequent, and for Tennessee to win one like that and against a reported offer of $800,000 to play in the G League on top of that, you know, shows you how impressive that was. It was kind of a three-way battle with Tennessee, Auburn, and the G League, and in the end, Tennessee pulls it out. So impressive job and a much-needed win, with Tennessee having a few spots to fill on the roster going into the summer, looking more and more like they might have a chance to fill those spots now. And a few weeks ago, I'm not sure a lot of people were confident that was the case.
Well, and they're going to be top five, right? If when you start, where are they right now in yours?
They're in the recruiting rankings.
Just ballpark. This puts them top five, doesn't it?
It's going to put them up there. I think top 10 in a lot. Yeah. We'll see exactly how high they climb and a lot of others. You know, this is only the second player in Tennessee's 2022 class. So recruiting rankings wise, they're still down the board a little bit. But the two they've got are pretty good. They're now up to 36 in the rankings, with he being the second player in the class, and obviously BJ Edwards, the highly ranked point guard from nearby Knoxville Catholic, being the other. So a good class of what they have, but just two players. But yeah, this adding those guys to what Tennessee brings back, you're going to see a lot of talk of them being for sure a top 10 team, and I think that's a good place to put them. We'll see if they end up top five, but I think at the very least they're going to be a pretty widely regarded top 10 team, and rightfully so, with all that talent coming back and then throwing in a guy like Julian Phillips.
And the expectations now, I mean, you know, what's the fan base like now? I mean, you know, in terms of, you know, we've been down this road before. A couple of years ago, they were ranked number one in the country and seemed to be cruising towards, you know, whatever, and, you know, not being able to get past the Sweet 16. Are the fans growing a little restless with this program?
You know, it changes month to month. back in January when we were talking about this, you know, there was a lot of hand wringing at that time, right, about how the season was looking. That was the more frustrating point in the season. And then the team kind of turned things around from there down the stretch, and they go on to win the SEC tournament. But then the NCAA tournament ends up being a disappointment after how well they played down the stretch. So I think on the whole, though, I think there was a little bit better acceptance of how things went in the NCAA tournament for maybe a couple reasons. I think that the SEC tournament championship, because it had been so long since Tennessee won one of those, made that a little bit easier to swallow. And seeing some other big programs go down in the early rounds, I think when people sat back and looked at it, Kentucky, a lot of other programs had even more miserable exits than Tennessee in a lot of ways. So that was a tough one, but it also was just a tough draw for Tennessee to get an 11 seed like Michigan. So I think the more people have sat back and looked at it, I don't think there's maybe quite as much anger about it. So I think most people are still overall in a pretty positive place coming out of the season, considering what I thought the anger level might be over just another early postseason exit from Tennessee under Rick Barnes. It's something he's still got to he's got to change that trend at some point. But I think given everything else they accomplished this year and where they were in January, I think people are living with it better than I thought, and I think there will still be plenty of excitement going into this next season.
Ryan Callahan, our guest, Go Vols 24/7. Looking at football with spring practice having recently wrapped up, reportedly I wasn't there, but reportedly no one really seemed to grab that number two quarterback spot during spring drills. Obviously, Hooker's the guy, and it's going to be him going forward. Is that a concern, or should that be a concern?
You know, I don't think that's a massive concern, and I think a lot of that stuff, you really don't know what would happen with a position like that until, you know, your number one actually goes down. I think this is one of those cases where I don't know that first of all, I think Tennessee's depth chart will probably list Joe Milton as the backup. I would be surprised if it says anything but that going into the fall. But, you know, if Hendon Hooker were to miss a lot of time, does that mean they would automatically go with Joe Milton, or would they consider going with Taven Jackson, the true freshman? I think they saw some positive things from Jackson this spring that makes them think he's got a chance to be a good player down the road. Is he there now? You know, how far along is he coming out of the spring, and how big is this summer for him? Hard to say how that all adds up in the fall, but I do think Joe Milton has improved from last year. I will say that. I think we saw a little bit better version of him toward the end of last season. He came in a couple games and looked sharper than he did in those first two games of the season, where he obviously had a lot of fans completely ready to move on pretty quickly with how many passes he overthrew. But I think he's improved since then, handled the situation really well. I think most people are surprised, frankly, he's still at Tennessee. And the fact that he's hung around, willing to sort of wait his turn again rather than just jumping ship after one season, I think shows a lot of maturity on his part. And he's been a good teammate and good for that quarterback room. So I think they would still lean toward Milton officially, but I still have questions. And this staff still might, too, for that matter, about what they would do if there was a long-term absence of Hendon Hooker. It's always a concern until you know what you're going to do there, but it's not a bad situation because you at least have a promising young guy who gives you maybe a little bit higher ceiling at that position than people might think they have with Joe Milton being the number two.
Ryan Callahan, Go Vols 24/7. Ryan Callahan, 24/7. NFL draft, I thought it was really neat. In the sixth round, Theo Jackson, kid here from Nashville, played at Overton High School. Obviously, I thought he would be drafted. I think we talked last Friday that I think somebody was going to take a shot on him in the late rounds because he just has the measurables on top of everything else. I like the pick. I think that, you know, the Titans, obviously, he back home with all of that, and I think he has a chance to stick on this roster.
I think he does. I'll be honest. I'm surprised at the pick. I'm not surprised that he's getting a chance to make a roster and that someone thought enough of him that we're talking about him in those terms. But I thought it would be as a priority undrafted free agent for somebody. I wasn't sure he did enough in one year. But he's one of several guys on this team and in this program that improved their testing numbers quite a bit. And obviously he had a great season on the field to back that up. So give him a lot of credit, man. That is a kid that just worked his tail off. If you know Theo Jackson, if you've interacted with him at all over the years, you know what a humble, quiet, well, you know, just a just a good kid by all accounts. He has been over the years, and how valued he was in that Tennessee program. That coaching staff identified him pretty early on as someone they could really count on to be a leader, even though he had never really been a starter before last year. And for him to turn into what he did last year for that team, pretty remarkable step forward in his development, and good for him to get drafted and to get to go home to do it. It was a great story. It's one of the better the better late career turnarounds, or you know, kind of a reward for all the work and diligence, and for sticking with it too. You know, not everybody in his situation sticks with it without bailing for the transfer portal. For him to hang around till his fifth year, finally get a chance and take advantage of it like that, really impressive story of kind of perseverance. So give him a lot of credit, and give Tennessee staff, frankly, a lot of credit, because Alante Taylor, all those guys that were drafted, really with the exception of Cade Mays, I think you could say they pretty much all improved their stock, and in most cases quite a bit from a year ago. And that's, I think the staff deserves a lot of credit for that development.
Ryan, are you coming over Sunday for the Elite 11 semifinals? I saw that was happening.
I will be there, as a matter of fact.
Come on over.
It's not every day. Yeah, Tennessee, it's not every day you have a five-star quarterback commitment coming in from California to throw at an event like that in Nashville. So it's, I'll go ahead and tell people, if you're interested in coming out, don't be surprised if there's a good number of Tennessee fans at that event Sunday. It's at Lipscomb, and we should, I think, runs from about 10 to 3, something like that. But it is going to be really fascinating to see just the circus around him, I think, throughout his career, because he came to town in April, hung out the weekend at Tennessee's spring scrimmage that was, you know, not open to fans, but televised across campus, I guess you could say. And in that weekend, he played in a 7-on-7 tournament over at Farragut High School. The number of photos he posed for on both days of that tournament was unreal. It's a unique situation because we've never seen a five-star quarterback committed to Tennessee in this era playing in a 7-on-7 tournament in Tennessee's backyard. But if it's anything like that, expect a good number of Tennessee fans out at that event on Sunday just to see him throw and get an early glimpse of him before he gets to Tennessee. Obviously, a lot of excitement over him, and justifiably so. I'll add this real quick. On the Big Orange Caravan, we cover those stops, and I was at a couple of them. Multiple stops. Now, even against their recommendations, they ask fans, hey, please don't ask coaches about recruiting. They can't talk about recruiting. Almost everywhere they went, still the first question from the audience was about Nico. So tons of buzz about him, and they can't even stop the questions. People are so excited to talk about a five-star quarterback on the way.
Baseball team, they get the win in game one of their series with Georgia last night. They've already run the SEC East. Kind of a fait accompli, Ryan, but still an important accomplishment.
No question. And the numbers are still just staggering. No matter how they accomplish it down the stretch here, just for them to be at this point, still only what, 6 losses going into the stretch run here. It's been a remarkable season already. Not long ago, this program couldn't dream of winning an SEC East, and now for them to be clinching an SEC East title with 2 weeks to go in the regular season, it's kind of unheard of. The SEC baseball title is usually won with about, 20 wins in conference play maybe, and it's usually down to the final weekend. So it really impressive season, and now the only question about this team, is, as we've kind of talked about for a while, did they peak too early, or are they going to still be able to dominate down the stretch the way they have for most of the season? Last night, frankly, coming off a series loss, a big win to get back on track against Georgia, so which is a very quality team that we might see in Omaha as well. So an impressive season, and it's still, obviously what's going to define this team's season still lies ahead, but for them to have accomplished all this already and to have an SEC East title under their belts, pretty remarkable, and we'll see how far they can take it.
How about that softball game yesterday?
Yeah, go ahead. Really?
Yeah, no doubt. I didn't get to watch as much of that, but that's a program you kind of expect that from this time of year. They've had a remarkable run over the years, and for them to keep that up this postseason, not surprising.
Yeah, 13 innings, longest SEC tournament game ever. 1-0 game on a walk-off in the 13th inning.
Yep.
And pitching was absolutely dominant in that game.
Ryan Callahan. Ryan, thank you, man. You seem smarter an hour later. I just don't know. I mean, just saying.
No, we just get dumber as the day goes along.
There's no doubt about that. We started dumb and get dumber.
That's right.
So anyway, hey, thank you, Ryan. Have a great weekend.
Thanks,
and
Ryan.
Safe trip over here. Come see us.
Yeah. Appreciate it, guys.
All right, man. Ryan Callahan. Yeah, that 10, the